Good evening, everyone.
Hello, all.
Or not good evening, depending on how you look at it.
I think things have settled down a little bit after last
Yeah.
week's
Oh,
bombshells.
dude, last week. Fuck. Jesus. Last week was crazy.
Hey, and we took the week off, guys. That was not our fault. Okay.
Yeah, thank you everyone for letting us do that first off. I really needed that. I was at a very long, very, very long, boring, not really boring, but it was kind of boring, but it was an important online conference. It was very intense, and I needed to not have distraction. And I would not have We would not have actually made it on time anyway, because we didn't get done deliberating until close to now, on Thursday night. It was pretty crazy, and then we immediately had to go into another thing that we had to watch. So it was pretty nuts. So thanks for giving us that week break, and thanks for everybody who came out to the Ron Friends signing. That was great. There were a lot of people that came out. It was awesome. I got my big ass book signed by him. I don't have it up here. I left it downstairs. But it is awesome. We still have a couple signed, by the way. We had them sign some extras. You can get them. They have the 252 cover. We have the Ron Friends extra cover that has Jackal on the back. There's still 125. They're available only in Cranberry, and we will have those at a couple of the stores here in about a week. But if you want a signed copy, make sure you hit up Cranberry, our Cranberry location. You can email them, talk to them about it. We can mail it if you want. We can just pay for the shipping. It's kind of nice. Thanks for Penguin for hooking us up with that as a consignment option. And thanks, Ron, for coming out and doing that. And I got a free Fantastic Four Fanfare 3. It was great. It was good times. I saw a lot of great people that I haven't seen in a while there. It was good times. which was kind of a nice that was kind of a nice part of last week, because last week we had a lot of bad
A lot of bad news.
unfortunately, there was a lot of deaths last week, a lot of celebrity deaths.
I mean, there were
So
real deaths as well. Like I had a
yeah.
couple of friends who their one had his father-in-law pass the same time as Ozzy. And his birthday was that weekend. He's like, I can't even go out and celebrate my weekend because we're doing the funeral that weekend. And I'm like,
Yeah,
jeez.
my nephew's grandfather, I say it like that because my sister never married her baby daddy. He passed away at the end of last weekend. That was a death in my personal circle. That sucks. But we had Malcolm Jamal Warner, who was Theo Huxtable. He went first, right?
Yes, he drowned
By
vacationing with
accident.
his
Yeah.
with his
Yeah.
family, which
Yeah.
that I think that was probably the most tragic of all of them,
Yeah, for sure.
because he was the youngest, and it was with his family and it on a vacation of all things. It
Yeah.
just kind of goes to show you that life, anything can happen in life, and
Indeed.
I was telling my wife of like the three that died within that day, him, Ozzy, and Hulk Hogan.
Well,
His.
there were 3 days in a row. Actually,
He was first.
so he was on Monday, right?
Yes.
Then Ozzy and Chuck Mangione both died on
Oof.
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yes.
Then Hulk Hogan
Hogan
died
died
on
Wednesday. Yeah.
Wednesday. So for music, Tuesday was like a fucking awful day. Because whether you're a metal fan or you're a fan of Chuck Mangione, like if you're a jazz fan or you're late music fan or you're a pop music fan, Chuck was huge. Ozzy was huge. Like they were both big, big,
They
big
were
people.
legends in their own realm of
Yeah.
music.
I mean,
And that's the
and
way to put it.
like,
I mean, Chuck was in The Simpsons.
no. He was, well, yeah, he was in The
Yes,
Simpsons, but
he was in The
he
Simpsons.
was, but he was notoriously in King of
Yeah.
the Hill, where they kept bringing him back, and he would just randomly play, Feel So Good randomly
Yeah.
all the time in King of the
Yeah.
Hill. He was one of my fraternity brothers. He was a Phi Mu Alpha brother, an honorary member, and he actually died during our right at the beginning of our national convention, and we were all very sad about it. That was actually the convention I was part of last week, so that was it was kind of a hit, a gut punch for all of us.
And then what, the beginning of this week, we lost Paul Mario Day, who was the
Yeah.
original Iron Maiden singer. So
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
another loss for the metal community as well within the past 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, not even completely 2 weeks. It's like the first 7 days, 7 days,
It's a full 7-day cycle. Yeah,
7 days. Yeah.
so
So yeah, it was sad
Yeah.
that because I remember him before everybody knows Bruce, but he was before Bruce.
Yeah.
And and it's sad that he was not, things happen and bands do this stuff all the time. Ozzy happened with Black Sabbath as well. So,
Yep.
and Ozzy hit me the hardest on a personal level. I like Theo Huxtable, like someone I grew up with on the pop culture. Everybody watched
Yeah,
him. He was
absolutely.
he made that legacy, but then he did other stuff too. He did what? His last big thing was the he was in The Resident. He played
Yep.
a surgeon. He was definitely one of that the big cast, part of the big
Yeah.
cast there.
Yeah, for
And
sure.
he was very, very good. Now I think he was nominated a couple times in that, if I'm not mistaken, too.
I believe you're right.
So I don't think he won, but I know he was nominated for sure. But it was sad seeing that. I think the only sports one this week actually was we lost Ryan Sandberg from Chicago that used to play for the
Yeah.
Cubs. 65.
Yeah.
That I'm not too sure. Like they didn't give out details of how, why, whatever. But as far as sports, like legit sports, not sports entertainment, that's Hulk Hogan. That's different.
Yeah.
But I remember Ryan Sandberg, him playing the Pirates, when the
Yeah.
Pirates were dominating the division, which we won't see that in my lifetime again, I don't think. Not after this trade bull crap they did this today. Holy
Yep.
cow. But off track, getting back to, then Ozzy and Hulk and Hulk Hogan, I feel the least sad. I know a lot of people, it's the back and forth. You do have to separate the character from the real person.
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
I feel bad. Yes, he was a person. I don't think he was a well-liked person in
I
real
agree.
life. He did a lot of bad things to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now I feel bad for his family. Even though they were estranged, you still feel bad.
Yep.
Now Ozzy was different. Ozzy, I think, will be forever immortalized. I think even beyond Hulk Hogan, because when he passed, this was the first time in 10 years. There was not political anything. It was all Aussie across social media. People's memories, their, how they got introduced to Aussie, how many times they saw Aussie in concert, stuff like that. Heck, I just added to the list of tattoos that I need to get. I'm going to get the little Aussie stick figure logo from the late 90s. I think I'm going to get that tattooed somewhere on me.
Nice.
Yeah, I think he deserves it.
Yeah,
He was a big part of my life as something me and my
yeah.
dad shared. My dad
Yeah.
even called me
Wow.
like to make sure I was okay because he knew that my love for Aussie outshined my dad. My dad introduced me to Ozzy. He was that generation that listened to OG Sabbath. My dad passed on to me his Sabbath records. It definitely was a integral part of my late teens, early 20s. Going to almost every Ozzfest. I missed 99 was the year I missed it. But every other Ozzfest that came to Pittsburgh, I was there. I was there, scrounged money for tickets, bought the shitty shirts from the guys who printed the shitty versions, if I could afford that. If I could afford the real ones, I bought the real ones. But
I think
it's
I think I still have mine somewhere. I might. Oh,
I don't
I
have
was
any of
thinking like I
mine.
might have to
My
dig one
ex
out. I
took
was like,
all
I
of
don't
them.
know. I
My
was like, I
ex
might
took
have to dig
all
one
of
out,
them.
but I don't
So,
know if that I could find one. Like, I don't know if I could find
and
it.
don't look on eBay. I looked
Oh,
on eBay. I
I
saw one.
bet.
There are
I bet.
holes in it and everything. It was still asking for like $150, and I think
Yeah,
someone
no.
bought it. And I'm like, no. If I'm gonna spend 150, that thing better be freaking pristine. Okay, like you wore it once and then you put it away. But
Exactly.
yeah, it's definitely it was a rough week last week. Like I watched YouTube, the different tribute across generations of ranging from Jack Black, Metallica, Manson, Judas Priest, Ghost, like every kind of version of metal. And even beyond metal, there was what? Lady Gaga, Dave Matthews, Coldplay, I think even did some, did it, And I'm like, okay, that gives me a little modicum of respect for Coldplay and Dave Matthews because I can't stand those guys. But I will give them respect because they gave Ozzy respect. So,
I saw a lot of those. They were pouring out. That was great. I mean, I growing up, for me, growing up, obviously, like Sabbath was a huge, like a huge, influence on my music, and especially the Ozzy era of Sabbath is my favorite era of Sabbath, because everybody has their favorite era, right? Like everybody's like, oh, it's either Ozzy or Dio usually, right?
I
Because
like
nobody really
both.
likes nobody's like, oh, the Ian Gillan years,
No,
right?
he is a distant third.
Right,
He's like down
right.
in the
Or like,
list.
I forget who the other guy. The actually the other guy after Ian Gillan was actually the second longest one after Ozzy. Like the guy who was on tour, I can't remember his name. Is escaping me right now. Anyway, but I was lucky enough to see both the original lineup of Sabbath, most of the original lineup of Sabbath minus Bill Ward. And Ozzy with the Zakk Wylde lineup, at least once each minimum, in my, we'll call it formative years, either between, we'll call it between 16 and 22,
They say
and
you form your musical taste between that era of, your teenage mid teenage years to your mid twenties, let's say. So.
And to watch that and to really see that, and then and also get to watch like the Osbournes TV show and get to really see them behind the scenes and to kind of be like, oh, they're just as screwed up and normal as everybody else.
Yeah.
It's
Cupcake's
kind of
currently
fun.
watching it on YouTube right now. She found it
Nice.
on YouTube and she started watching.
That's
Because she didn't
awesome.
she never watched like that kind of stuff. So
Oh.
she's like, wow. She's like, he didn't know how to do like anything technology. I was like, no. I was
Nope.
like, he did
Nope.
not. There was that whole episode. I was like, what I remember from the Osbournes was Jack, what was he like 14, 15? Like
Yeah,
around
maybe
there?
16-ish,
Yeah.
maybe.
And then you see all these hot girls come out of his bedroom and you're like, you lucky motherfucker. And I told my wife this story. It was like it was me and a couple of my roommates. We'd have parties, like little like parties when the Osbournes were on, when you used to do that kind of stuff. We'd do a
Mm-hmm.
poll on how many chicks we could see watch it come out of Jack's room. You know, and it, you know, stuff like that. It was, you know, and you're
And
like,
you know,
who wouldn't at that age, you know?
and
Especially your
not,
dad's that, you know?
you know, and to, you know, and as a metal fan in general, like understanding that, you know, like there are just certain bands, right? Like the big three originators of heavy metal are considered Sabbath, Zeppelin, and Deep Purple, right? They're the big three, right?
I agree. I think
So,
most historians agree with that. Most,
right.
you know.
So, but the reason is because it's those exact people at that exact time, right? So without Ozzy, Geezer, Tony, and Bill in that exact moment, that exact time, all doing what they did, you would not have had what we had. You would not have had that heavy blues that turned into metal, right? And like to see how much someone like that influenced the world, not just music, but the world. Like
You saw it
it's
in
insane.
his you saw it in his funeral. The entire town of Birmingham, it stopped. Time stopped. Even the guards in Buckingham Palace did a tribute to Ozzy because they think he deserved to be knighted. You know, and that says a lot. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't perfect. He did some shady stuff in his day, but I think that's true of all rock musicians at one point or another in their
And to know
careers.
that, and to know that, like Elton John was one of the guys that got to go all the way to his gravesite. Like you would not think Elton John would be that guy, but you're like, well, yeah, I guess so. I guess, yeah. But they were buddies, you know? Like it's just weird to think that, right?
Well, remember
So,
who his neighbor was? Pat Boone,
yeah,
a lounge
right,
singer who he did that metal album in the
yeah,
early
I have it.
2000.
I have
Yeah,
it. It's
I have
great.
it too somewhere. And he used Crazy Train for the Osbournes theme. And he even
Absolutely.
said he was one of the guys when Ozzy passed, he's like, he was the best neighbor. He was the nicest dude. He's like, they always looked after our pets. We did the same with theirs. There was no problems. You know, not what you thought, you know, that he'd be like biting the heads off of your neighbor's dog or some shit like that. That wasn't, you know, there was a difference of the persona and
All right. So
the
before we get into comics, and then we're also going to talk about Fantastic Four because we both saw it.
man.
So Justin and I thought a fitting tribute for Ozzy, because he meant so much to both of us, is we're going to now talk about, or at least we're going to list off, and we'll list off these, and then we'll talk a little bit about them, because, you know, we don't want to kill so much time tonight. So we're going to talk about our top five, in no particular order, top five Ozzy, either Ozzy solo or Ozzy Black Sabbath songs. So we'll read off our lists, and then we will see how similar they are, and then we will kind of discuss, like, oh, that's a cool pick. Like, I think it's cool you picked that, whatever. And we'll just kind of talk about it for a few minutes. So do you want to go first, since he, you know?
Sure. Let's go with some Sabbath one. His Sabbath. I'm gonna go with Snowblind from Volume Four. Again, that is the first album my dad introduced me to Black Sabbath. And that song happens to be probably the best song out of that whole album. It is not the most well-known song of that album, but I think that one hits me the most. And it's the one that always sticks in my mind when I look at that album that my dad gave me. And it's definitely that one that's the nostalgic, the introduction of Ozzy.
It's
You know,
nothing
I
reminds me of your
know
dad because your dad did a lot of coke, just saying.
He did not. He was my dad was straight edge as hell.
Right.
But no, it was one of
Okay.
those that time songs that, wasn't like the most meaningful of songs, but it was a good song. And
Right.
I definitely, and it's a very underrated album. Volume 4 is a very underrated album. I could have did Paranoid and I could have did like all that. We all know those. I wanted to go something a little deeper than that. So.
Okay. Oh, do we want to go back and forth, or do you want to do all 5 years?
Oh, I'll do all five.
Okay.
Children of the Grave from Masters of
Ooh.
Reality.
That is actually also on mine, just so you know.
I love that one, but I also love every iteration of it. Like the white zombie version in that tribute album from the 90s. Oh, one of the favorite iterations of it. But it all started from that right there. And definitely, again, one of my favorite Sabbath songs, very underrated. I don't think it's, I think it usually makes like a top 10, but it never reaches that top five that
That is actually
everybody
my
knows.
all-time favorite Sabbath song.
Okay, there you
So.
go. And those are the two Sabbath, Ozzy Sabbaths that I picked.
Okay.
His solo stuff is a little mix of old and new. Mr. Tinker Train from No More
Nice.
Tears. I love that one.
Nice.
I love No More Tears as well. I love that. Like that whole album is awesome. But Mr. Tinker Train, the energy that gives off. And
You're not
every time
wrong.
he did it live, so good. Dreamer from Down to Earth, one of the newer
Wow.
albums. I love that though, because it's a very soft melody and it's very meaningful and powerful.
Yeah.
And it's probably my favorite, and a lot of people are like kind of See You on the Other Side from Osmosis.
I also have that on my list.
Yeah, I loved Osmosis. Like
Me
I love
too.
Perry Mer Perry Mason was an
That
awesome song. See You on the
almost
Other
made my
Side.
list. Yep.
Yeah, See You on the Other Side was also like those are the two that I'll never get tired of listening to either one of like that album in there. I do if you never listened to Ozzy or you want to get into him, my best recommendation for like album overall, how about do the Ozman Cometh dual disc?
Yeah.
That gives you a good mix of Sabbath. It gives you a good mix of his solo stuff. Back on Earth is a really good song too. It almost made this list. And then there's like a big interview and stuff on the second CD that's really in depth. And I highly recommend like if you don't have that album, go grab it. If you can
Yeah,
find
for
it.
sure.
It's a hard to find album too.
Yeah, I have it somewhere. So,
Yeah.
all right. So my top five, I did them in release order. So I mean, yours were almost minus the
Yeah.
Children of the Grave Snowblind flip-flop. So mine start with Black Sabbath, the song Black Sabbath, because
Okay.
that song to me is quintessential. Not just Ozzy, but quintessential Black Sabbath in general. Like that song, it just oozes everything about that band and what its entire being is. Like it sets the tone for their entire existence in everything they do, from the doom and gloom to like the chugginess toward the end and the bridge. And then back again and everything around it and like the rain in it and Ozzy's like doomy vocals and like the desperation in the vocals where he's like, oh God, please no, like that kind of stuff. I just it's so good. And My band in high school used to cover that song, and it was like one of the my favorite. It was one of the songs that I would love to play. Children of the Grave is my second one. As I said, that's my all-time favorite Sabbath song. And the same reasons. Like I love every iteration of it as well. I love the White Zombie cover. But that original version is just so good. And I actually recently read this old Rolling Stone article about the Master of Reality album where they talked about that song specifically. And they talked about how it was just super repetitive and boring. And I was like, wow,
That did not age well.
yeah, like how it was interesting how they like kind of like shit on all of their albums as they came out. And actually Volume 4 was the one that they actually gave the highest praise to of the first four, because it was the one they actually gave the most time to, right? So the next song was is Symptom of the Universe. And I think this one is great because it really shows off Ozzy's high range. But it also shows that they can do he could do like a faster paced song. And it was a little bit different. And I just always love the groove of that song. It just really like it just struck a chord with me. I also love the Helmet cover of that song, if you've never heard that from the Jerky Boys soundtrack.
I'd have to go back in the archives on that one.
Oh,
I have it somewhere.
I don't even know if it's actually on the soundtrack, but that's the song they're playing in the movie.
Ha!
Like if you watch the movie, Helmet is in the movie and that's the song they're playing. Because when they kick the pedal to go into the next section, like it starts this fire. So then my last two songs are actually from solo stuff. My first one is Bark at the Moon.
That's a
And
good one.
I just always of his early stuff, this song just always, I don't know why, but it always just hooked me. I've always loved this song. I don't know if it's because I love werewolves. I don't know if I just like horror shit,
Yeah.
or if it's just I like,
It sh it showed his like his separation from Black Sabbath too, of his range is it like drama and he mixed the drama with the metal and it made it cool. And it's the same thing with Diary of the Madman. And he did the same thing, did the Mr. Hyde shit, where he's in a laboratory and that's classic 80s stuff. Now again, before you and me's time of actually like in the peak there in the 80s. Like I was a little kid and you weren't even thought of.
Well, I mean, I was born in 81, so
Okay, so you
I
were like
existed in
2 years old.
the 80s,
You were 2 years old and I was 5 or 6. So,
right?
we were little kids who didn't know who Ozzy
Right.
Osbourne was. So it's, that's always another thing of his, the generational, like generation
Right.
after generation of
And I think that's why when Osmosis came out, because he did the No More Tours, right, for No More Tears, and then he was like, fuck it, I'm back, and he did Osmosis, and he put out this fucking killer album, and See You on the Other Side was on there, and I just remember being like, this song is so good, like just so good. In fact, most of the tracks on that record are just killer.
Old
There
LA
were,
Tonight was it was the one that sticks out
yeah.
for me.
Oh man.
It was a very melodic album, like very, he really did vote, like his vocal range was excellent.
Oh yeah. Hold on, I gotta pull up the track list again, 'cause
I was doing
there
the same. I'm like,
was.
boy, I was like, I would have went with like the easy ones where like, oh, Crazy Train was awesome and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, I gotta pick out ones that like really meant something, to me, at least to myself. But I think a
think,
lot of the
oh,
younger,
My Little
the
Man. My Little Man off that record was one of my all-time favorite tracks for a long time. And it's because I mean, Steve Vai wrote it with him, and it was just so good, so good. And that whole record, it was just like the best comeback record you could have, right? And then you're right, like the Osman Cometh record came out after that, and it was just like, boom, here we are, back in the swing.
And then that's when Ozzfest started. And
Yep.
that's, again,
So,
that's another, what, generation of people.
yeah, absolutely. And as you see, we named the show Osman Goeth. So my band in high school, my metal band in high school, my bass player, he was a big, he and I were both big Sabbath fans, and he actually called his two bass players, I guess his three bass players, right, are the dude from Tool, Chamberlain, I think his name is, John Entwistle from The Who, and Geezer Butler. Those are the three bass players in his world, right? But he calls Entwistle and Geezer the White and Black Wizard. Right? So he currently works for the Butler Eagle. And when Ozzy passed away, he actually wrote an article on him and how he influenced music. And he actually got to say, "The Osman cometh, the Osman goeth," and put it in print. So he actually got to quote that in print. And I was like, "You do that, dude. That's awesome." But we discussed Ozzy. We talked to Ozzy for a little bit, and it was funny because he was like, "Yeah, it's 9:30 in the morning. My neighbors are kind of still sleeping. I think I'm gonna crank NIB." I was like, "You do you, bro." I was like, I'm gonna probably crank some fucking Symptom of the Universe here in a second.
I was gonna
So.
say at the store, it's been like, no one's complained yet. I don't think they
Yeah.
will, but I put in Best of Ozzy, Best of Black Sabbath, and like this week I put in Black Sabbath tribute just to kind of shake things up, having different bands doing Black Sabbath
Oh,
covers.
nice.
So, and even Scott was like, "Hey, there's some songs I didn't, kind of were pretty good there by some of the other bands, their
Yeah.
versions of Black Sabbath,
Oh,
so."
like the Bruce Dickinson Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. That's fucking cool. If people haven't heard that, in fact, if you guys haven't ever listened to the Nativity in Black tribute record, that record is super good.
First one's the
Super,
best one.
super good. The first one is really good.
Yes.
Second one,
Second,
not as good. It's
it's
like 60-40.
okay. I think most of the songs are good. There are a couple that are like okay,
Yeah, like
or
the head PE with like Ice Cube doing Iron Man was a little weird, like or whatever the hell it
yeah,
was.
but that wasn't too bad. I think I was more what was the other one that was really like it threw me off? I forget. There was another like rap thing in there too, I think
Hold
too.
on, I'm looking it up.
Yeah. There
All right, so
I could probably look it up
do.
too.
That's the first one. Where's the second one?
Did they try to do a third one? I swear
Did they
there was.
really?
I swear I remember a third one, but I could be wrong.
Let's see here. Nativity in Black 2. All right. Let's see. So Godsmack did Sweet Leaf. It was pretty good.
Yes.
Machine Head's Hole in the Sky was pretty good.
Oh,
Static
NIB
X.
with Primus was pretty good too. That was
Yeah,
awesome.
yeah, yeah. Static X Wall of Sleep was really good. Megadeth's Never Say Die was really good.
Yes.
System of a Down Snowblind was good.
Yes.
Pantera's Electric Funeral was good. NIB Primus and Ozzy was good. Hand of Doom by Slayer was good. Under the Sun Soulfly, not as good as I hoped it would be.
Yeah, that one was kind of a little bit of a letdown, a little
Head
bit.
PE's Sabra Kadabra, Not as good as I hoped it would be.
No, that one was the one I think that kind of like Heppy is one of those bands are like
Monster Magnets Into the Void, I didn't really like either. And Busta Rhymes' Iron Man with Ozzy was not good either, in my opinion.
Yeah. So it was
So
like half the album.
the first album was great. The first half was great. But the first album was awesome.
Yeah.
'Cause the first album, like that track list, holy shit. Hold on, let me pull up that
Yeah, they
one.
had Typo Negative doing Black
Oh my God.
Sabbath.
So the first it was so the in order, it's After Forever with Biohazard,
Biohazard.
Children of the Grave with White
Good.
Zombie, Megadeth doing Paranoid, 1000 Homo DJs
Doing
doing
Supernaut.
Supernaut, which is basically a bunch of dudes from different bands. Ozzy and Therapy doing Iron Man, which was great. Corrosion of Conformity doing Lord of This World, which was awesome. Sepultura doing Symptom of the Universe, which was great. Bullring Brummies,
Doing Wizard.
featuring Geezer Butler and Rob Halford, doing The Wizard. Bruce Dickinson and Godspeed doing Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Stop.
Ugly Kid Joe doing NIB. Faith No More doing War Pigs Live. And Typo Negative doing Black
Bucks.
Sabbath, but it's from the side of Satan. And then there's a bonus track. If you get the bonus version, it's got Cathedral doing Solitude, which
Oh, I
I've
forgot
never
about
heard that
that.
version yet. I've never heard that version, but
Yeah.
I know it's good because I have a friend who
I
said it
know
was good.
the Faith No More one was the one I totally forgot about, but I know it's I remember it being so good
I just
too.
remember being like, bleh,
Yeah, and
bleh,
the whole crowd getting into it too, because you hear
bleh,
everybody
bleh, bleh, bleh.
clapping.
Yep.
And that was
So,
great. Yeah.
oh, super good. Super good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Ozzy. You were
Yes.
you were a fucking legend, and I'm glad I got to see you a couple times and
Yeah.
witness it in person, and your
There
legacy
may
will live on.
be some good that comes out of this, though, is there is a rumor that they may want to start up Ozfest again in his honor.
Oh,
Now, I don't know what the
how
logistics
does
would be.
that
Well, it would be Sharon, the
work?
kids, Zakk Wylde doing like helping
Yeah, but
and
like,
like on
what?
the business end of it. I don't know what like I don't know if it's going to be Black Sabbath doing it, like the remainder doing Black Sabbath.
Yeah, but like, they're down their two biggest names as singers.
True. But I think the concept, I think they want to bring
Okay.
back the concept, which I'm kind of down for. Like, if that happens, John, I'm warning you, I will be taking the day off and maybe the day after because I'm going to
It's
get
fine.
totally
It's totally fine. I'm probably gonna be there with you, so it's fine.
blitzed. We will drive down. I will have the bottle of Jack, and we will be drinking that all night, all morning. That
It's
might be
fine.
our breakfast.
It's fine. It's fine. My brother-in-law lives like 10 minutes from there. We might just walk.
Okay,
It'll be
go.
fine. So, anyway. All right. All right. Let's talk comics before people stop listening to us. All right. Oh, man. All right. You're first.
Right, we have Medieval Spawn number 4. I don't know if this is the end of this, but it certainly seemed like it was a finality of the book. We basically get the story. Like a story before them fighting this the demon here. Richard always asking why Spawn never took off his helmet from one of his men, and he's like, "Yeah, I just tell him that you were so ugly when you were born, you had to cover your face." And he's like, he was thinking about how he was trying to do this to protect Richard. But in actuality, he's like it turned out to be a mistake in not telling him the truth and the story of why he, became Medieval Spawn and why he does what he does. But then we get back to the demon with the Holy Crusaders and Richard and the warlock trying to trap this demon. And it pretty much goes how you expect it to. The demon ends up trying to possess Hellspawn, and the warlock blocks it with his magic. So he ends up taking over the lead crusader guy from the last book. I forget his name. And he ends up starting to slaughter his own men. Richard steps out of the protective bubble to attack this demon. And of course, that means Spawn had to come over and defeat him. It gets to the point where you think the demon tries to take over Spawn. Spawn wakes up and the warlock traps the demon inside of a rat. But unfortunately, the hel Spawn, Medieval Spawn's helm comes off, and Richard sees who he is and just loses his shit. Declares him his enemy, and the I guess the second in command of this crusader took him under his wing. And it, the rest of the book is just kind of Spawn going, it's been, he's like, it was one of the most regrettable time in my life. He's like, Richard turned out to be one of my greatest enemies, and he's just kind of riding off into the sunset. And that is the end of, I'm assuming it's the end of the arc and not so much the book, because it's weird to end on four issues, but I could be wrong. This was good. I felt like they rushed this, like they could have went a little bit more in depth, because they never really got into why Medieval Spawn became Spawn. We know how Owl became Spawn. We know how Gunslinger became Spawn. He seems to be a very, they didn't really give out the origin of his deal. I'm assuming it has something tragic. It was good. The art was pretty decent. I felt like they kind of made him look handsomer as a Spawn than Al Simmons. It was just kind of funny to say because all Hell Spawns are ugly. But his face didn't look that bad. Like it, like I don't know if they just were like, well, let's not make him totally gross. But in general, it was a fun little book. I, like I said, I love Medieval Spawn, like as a character. Out of all the Spawn characters, he's like, it's Al, him, and then Gunslinger down as my 1, 2, 3s. It was fun. I will give this, I'll say a 9 out of 12.
That's
It
fair.
was okay. I wish they would have maybe made extended it to 5 if you're going to end it here. And but it felt like the story was kind of rushed a
That's
little
fair. I'd like a very pretty
bit.
spawn. Very handsome spawn. All right. I'm gonna do Speed Racer number 1 by Dave Pepos, my boy, Dave Pepos. And David Tinto. This is for Mad Cave Studios. So this book starts out with like a flashback of Speed watching his older brother Rex win a race, and then it flips to the future where he gets in the Mach 5. There's a really nice Akira frame, like throwback tribute, which is nice. Where Spriddle is a influencer. Like him and Chim Chim are basically like webcasting this thing, this race, and Speed's like basically doing like a late night drag race through town, and he takes the Mach 5 and eventually like rides up the side of a building and like through a construction site and stuff, It's crazy, and all these girls like want him at the end, and he's like, they're like, "Oh, do you have a girlfriend?" And he's like, "No, I'm flattered, but I gotta. Do you guys know where my brother is? I gotta go." So, Spriddle ends up also being his bookie and getting a shitload of money for him. So they bring the car back into the garage, and their dad's like, "What the fuck, guys? You put this on the internet. You shouldn't be racing. Remember what happened to your brother?" Because they think that Rex died. And they're like, mom left, and you're behind on bills. Like, what the hell, man? Like, let us race, and we'll help you win. Like, if you let us do the Formula X League, we can win you $1 million. All you have to do is help us, tune up the Mach 5 and blah blah blah. He's like, don't you remember what happened to your brother? Blah 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 blah. So they have like this big fight. So Speed leaves, and he goes to this. He goes to the malt shop, the Victory Lane Diner. Sorry, the Victory Lane Diner, where he meets Trixie, his girlfriend. And they kind of hit it off, and they're kind of like watching the stars and shit. Well, while that happens, Pop's back at his house, reminiscing about, his other son who is now dead, who he thinks is dead, I guess, and the Tiger Gang pulls up to the garage and comes in. The Tiger Syndicate, I guess, comes in and just like beats the hell out of him. While Spriddle watches, Speed eventually comes back, watches the Tiger Gang pull away, and they have to race Pops to the hospital. So they get in the Mach 5, and of course they fly by a bunch of cops. They fly through a bunch of cops. They use a like these ejectors to spring over a bunch of cops, and then land into the hospital just in a nick of time to get Pops there before his heart goes out. Cops arrest Speed for, obviously driving like an asshole. And then you see elsewhere, another guy gets Mr. Lamster, is being accosted by Racer X. Which, spoilers, if you don't know who Racer X is, that's Rex, his older brother. at least if you've watched the old cartoons and you're a fan, everyone knows that. I was kind of hesitant when I picked up this book because I was like, I don't know if can Dave strike lightning again. He did really good with Ghost Rider or Ghost Space Ghost. And I think he did. I think he hit it again. This book was a lot of fun. The art was fantastic. It was a very modern take on Speed Racer. I enjoyed it quite a bit, a lot more than I thought I was going to. The only thing that it really needed was just like, more race, but I think that's coming. I really dug it. I really, really dug it. So I'm gonna give this oh man, I'm giving this an 11 out of 12. That's how good I like this.
Nice.
So great job, guys. This was a good book.
All right, we got Incredible Hulk number 27. We see a kid playing in the woods and he meets Hulk. This kid's name is Petey. And Petey is like, "Hey, do you want to be my friend?" And Hulk is he's still kind of dealing with Charlie just kind of losing it a little bit with him, and then him getting an argument and going away. And he's like, "No," he kind of dismisses him and goes away. And Petey's like, "Well, this is my woods, you know." He's like, "You could go anywhere, but not the tree that's knocked down, the broken tree." And then you hear this. Petey hears his mom calling him, so he goes over and he's like, "Hey, mom, hey, dad, look at this cool stick I found." And looks like the parents are kind of ignoring him, and then Hulk kind of just sticks around. This book kind of lasts through like almost a month. Hulk sticks around to the same area for about a month. So it'll go from week one, week two, week three. Week two, yeah, the kid and the Hulk eventually Hulk starts slowly kind of giving in to the kid. Like the kid just keeps talking to him normal, doesn't treat him bad. Says, "Hey, didn't you used to be part of the Revengers?" And Hulk's like, "No." I was like, "Oh." And it's like another week goes by, and Hulk's still sticking around, and he starts talking to Banner through like this decayed owl skull, and they start talking about heroes and Charlie, and he's like, "Look, we can be heroes again." And Hulk's like, "No." And he's like, "Well, Charlie thought we could." And it started getting real deep. Also, like later that evening, the parents are like ready to leave because apparently the dad is into some shady stuff. They live out of a bus, so they're basically homeless. But his dad is like, I think he steals stuff or he brings in drugs or something, a mule of some sort. And the mom and they have a baby as well. She's holding on to the baby. Well, he smacks her right in the face. He's like, "We're leaving." And she's like, "Well, we can't leave him." And Hulk is like, "What do you mean him?" Well, Petey was throwing his ball. He had like a tennis ball or something, and the tennis ball landed near a broken tree. Well, Hulk goes over to the broken tree and he sees like just shuffled dirt everywhere. He unsettles the dirt, and all you see is a hand in a grave. And Hulk just starts losing it. The mother and Hulk combine. It's like, "We didn't," he's like, "It wasn't my fault. It, she's obviously, it's an abusive situation." And the dad is leaving. He's barreling with the bus. Well, here comes Hulk. He just smashes into the bus. Gasoline's leaking everywhere, but spark catches fire. The dad ends up blowing up with the bus. They do another week, and we find out that Petey was the dead body. The Hulk has been talking
Oh.
to a ghost the entire time. And he's like, "I'm gonna go with my sister now. We're gonna go to my grandma. Should I go with her?" And Hulk's like, "You should go, where nobody's looking for you." And this was a very heart-wrenching story. I give kudos to this. This is out of all the, Hulk stories, is for this being like a singular kind of mini story. This hits the heart. The abuse, and this is definitely a Hulk involved story, very deep. I'm gonna give this a 12 out of 12. It's
Wow.
we don't get enough of this kind of real life normal stuff. That what would you do if you were a superhero and you were confronted with something like this? Obviously, Hulk like loses his. He does the right thing, but he also ends up like killing the dad, So it's
Right.
like that kind of deal. But it was a solid story, a solid book. I am enjoying this entire run. This is much better than the Robo thing that Donny Cates was trying to do. Like this is definitely a little bit more grounded, a little bit more down to earth, like for a comic book about Hulk, at least. So
Okay, cool. All right. My last book is Mega Man X Timelines 1. This book takes it starts off like the game, the future 21XX. And X is like, why did he give me this? Why was I created to protect or destroy? And then Zero's like, yo, get your ass out here. Or Zero's like, get your ass out here. And then all of a sudden they're outside in the cold. They're blasted shit. And Zero's like, we got to get over to the joint where while Dr. Kane ran the evacuation team. So they kind of split up to go look for him. X gets hit by some robots, some of the Mavericks. He's taking care of those guys while he gets into the basically a citadel. He gets into a citadel. He finds a big computer. While he's at the big computer, pushes the big button. It's got an evacuation log, and it has a capsule in it. That you find out belonged to Dr. Thomas Light. He's like, this sounded important. I wonder what happened to him. And he touches it. And as soon as he touches it, a hologram of Dr. Light shows up, just like in the game. And it's the Dr. Light hologram is talking to him. And he basically tells him, like, I hope one day the humans and robots can exist together. And that you can be that connection. I gave you the unique ability to feel, and think and make your own decisions. You have the potential to grow and evolve beyond everything that I could ever imagined. You are the future of peace to come to pass. But you are the champion to protect them. You will be that champion. He's like, I hid these capsules, so that you might find your way back to unlock your true potential. He's like, okay, cool. So he leaves and he goes outside and he runs into Chill Penguin, who is now a Maverick. Chill Penguin basically is like, yeah, I'm bored, so get the hell out of my way, and I'm just gonna bury cities under avalanches of snow. And he's like, no. And he's like, bring it on, rookie. So they have a fight that's almost exactly like an actual fight you would have had with the Robot Master in the game, which is amazing. And eventually, X blows a hole in the back of his head.
Wow.
He like shoots him in the back of the head, which it like actually bursts through his chest somehow. And he absorbs his shotgun ice. Zero shows up. And he's like, I also absorbed something else. He was contacted Storm Eagle before that. And they're like, all right, well, let's go talk to him and see what the hell is going on. Because if we stop fighting, it's a good day to die. And that's kind of where it stops. And I thought this book was so well done. Not only did it feel a little bit like the cartoon, it felt a little bit like the game. But it played out a lot like the game actually would have played out, like in the story of the game. And the art's fantastic. The writing is great. If you're a Mega Man fan, this book is fantastic. Definitely pick it up. I am a big Blue Bomber guy. Like, I've been a Mega Man fan my entire life. Like, Mega Man and Zelda are my two games of like that I've played pretty much all of them, and they're my all-time favorites. So I'm giving this book a 12 out of 12. Like, this book is that good for Mega Man fans. So go check it out. The colors are just as vibrant as you see here the whole way through. The art looks exactly like that the whole way through. It is super good. Super good. I definitely recommend going checking it out. It will not disappoint. So all right. Now, before we talk about Fantastic Four, I just want to talk about two things real quick. One, so Sandman has completed, and they put out a Death one-shot episode today, as the the hell they call it, like the something in life, right? It was a very great episode. It was just a death only episode.
Okay. So is it like based on the life of death or something? The
No,
lives
it's
of death or something?
hold on. It is called The High Cost of Living, which was the
Okay.
miniseries, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think
Yeah.
that was the first miniseries. That was the first Death Solo series, if I'm not
Yeah.
mistaken.
It was very good. It was very well done. I really enjoyed it. But I really want to say is if you're not watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds this new season, holy shit, is it amazingly a good ride. Not only have we gotten a Q Junior, but we
His
have
name's
now had
Junior?
a yeah, right? A Q Junior, right?
Oh my. Oh God.
Which that episode was fucking insane. There
Q's
is
usually
a
were.
right. There is a this last episode was them basically testing out their first holodeck ever. And the holodeck was a murder mystery that was basically people writing a what would have been like a 60s Star Trek episode. So like they have like this shitty like 60s Star Trek type show, and like but it's like a but it's like Clue, right? So it's like a murder mystery inside the
Oh
holodeck
my.
of like the producer dies at the house, but you like the but the Noonien Soon character has to figure out who the murderer is in the holodeck, to try to figure out like to try to work the system, the bugs out of the system. And until she figures out how to do that, that she can't end the program because the holodeck's still buggy. And until she does that, she can't, or the ship can't gain control of the power to do something else to save them doing something else. So it's kind of like a, you know, a catalyst thing.
Okay.
But it's funny because the new Kirk guy plays the Kirk character on that old show, and it's really hilarious because he plays it in the style of Kirk. And like they have like they do like a video screen, and they have this alien, and it's like got obvious like ropes connecting, like holding up its tentacles and shit. And then like
Oh, God.
the credit scene, like they do a whole different intro for it, which is hilarious. And they do like this credit scene is like bloopers from that. And like at one point, like the actress is like kind of like trying to climb out of there, and she like falls out, and her like jeans and chucks fall out. It's hilarious. And Jonathan Frakes like directed that whole episode. Amazing, great episode. If you have Paramount, I really recommend watching it. They're doing 5 seasons. This is season 3, and this show is just so good. It's been great the whole time,
I
but
was gonna
man,
say,
is this super
I
good.
think people are watching the other big show on Paramount currently would be the South Park.
Oh yeah, those episodes have been great too. But we're not
Yeah.
going to talk about that because we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to talk about Fantastic Four. So if you haven't watched it, this is your spoiler warning. GTFO. We'll see you later. And thanks for watching. So spoilers. So firstly, I really enjoyed it. I gave it a B minus. Which I guess in our ratings would be the equivalent to what, like an 8? 8 out of 12, I guess.
Something like that, an 8 or a
Eight,
9,
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah. 7 or 8 out of 12, so probably. The things that I liked about it were I liked that I think they got the characters personalities, I think, were hit 100% in this movie for the first time, than the other ones, right? I like that we didn't have to wait for Reed and Sue to get married. They're just already married.
Yeah. Well, they didn't do origin story, which
Yeah,
thank
there's no
you.
origin.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a little summary, like you
Yeah.
got the, you know.
Like the 3-minute montage summary, I
Yeah,
like
which
that at
was
the
fun.
beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked everything about Galactus. I thought he was phenomenally well done.
Yes.
I liked everything about Surfer. I thought they did her to a T. I liked the backstory chunk they did with her. I thought they did great with that. What I really enjoyed was that how that on this Earth they kind of like adapted like it's now, but it's you can tell it's like an alternate reality where certain things stayed, like
Yes.
vinyl stayed, right? So like, but their records are like metal.
Yeah.
So like it's weird that they're using vinyl, but they use like digital phone, like digital watch stuff,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. I
And they have
think they
flying cars, but they still have the big fucking fins that the 60s cars
Yeah.
had.
Yeah. I
Like,
think they
I thought
tried
that
to
was
stick with
cool.
the 60s aesthetic the best they
Yeah,
could.
and I
Which
thought that was really cool, you
Yeah.
know? I thought it was cool that they name dropped like the puppet master,
Mole Man.
Mole. Well, they showed Mole Man. He was great.
Yeah.
The thinker, or not the thinker, the hell was his name? Oh fuck. Puppet Master. There was like a moment where Reed's like, this guy's over here, and this guy's over here, and this guy's over here, and this guy's over here. And I'm just like, holy shit, they're just rattling off like all these awesome Fantastic Four villains. But I can't remember who he rattles off. Like I just can't remember all the guys. But I thought that was a really cool moment where he just like starts rattling off all these villains that I was like, oh, that's awesome. Red Ghost, they mentioned Red Ghost.
Yes.
That was cool.
And the evil monkeys.
I thought Galactus' ship was well done. I thought they did Franklin really well. My only real criticism about the movie, and the only reason I rated it so low was, there really wasn't a lot of action in it.
Well,
Like it was more of a thinking man's movie, and I get it, and that's fine, but it really was like there were moments where it felt a little slow to me, and that's the only problem that I had with it. But that's just me. Other than that, I think it cinematically was gorgeous. And I saw it in
yes.
IMAX, because it was filmed for IMAX. I saw it in IMAX. So I gave it, compared to like, so a buddy of mine was like, so compared to Superman, like what do you give, which one do you give for this and that and the other thing? I was like, I give cinematography, I give to Fantastic Four, scoring I gave to Superman, comic book accuracy I gave to Fantastic Four.
Yes.
I forget what, like there was a couple other things, but like overall, I really enjoyed it.
I think you could say both these movies did very well. It's, that's the way I'm going to do it. I have not seen Superman yet, but I've heard basically glowing reviews. Like, and for a
Yeah, it's
DC
very, very good.
movie over the last few years, I'll take that. Like the only other glowing review movie, I think, was what, Wonder Woman? The first Wonder Woman?
The first Aquaman also had a really good review.
Yeah, I
So.
guess. I think that was just because Jason Momoa carried that whole movie. I don't
I
think it
think
was so much the movie.
all the solo films actually did all right. It
Yeah.
was any of the ones that had more than one dude in it that weren't great,
Yeah.
so
Except the Flash one.
Flashpoint was all right.
Yeah.
So Mostly for
Other
Michael
than
Keaton,
Michael
though.
Keaton, yeah.
Yeah.
But back to Fantastic Four. I agree with you on the most part. I don't think it was slow as much as this is exactly what the Fantastic Four do in the comics. They're not the action-packed group. Like, that's X-Men, that's Avengers, that's a lot of the other groups in the MC, like the Marvel Universe. It's act, act, act. The Fantastic Four is led by Reed, and he has to think of everything. He has a plan, and I think that captured that perfectly. And you got the family dynamic, them being a giant family. I liked, like you said, Galactus was perfect. This was the Galactus we've been wanting since 2005. Okay, we waited 20 years for Galactus. We finally got a Galactus, and it's exactly what we wanted out of him.
Indeed.
Virtually unstoppable. It took like everything they had to, and didn't really even kill him.
Nope.
That was the thing. Excuse me. But yeah, it was I enjoyed it. Me and Cupcake went actually today. So she's like, I didn't know like all this. I was like, well, it's not quite like modern Fantastic Four. I was like, but this is the Jack Kirby Fantastic Four. As I put it, this is exactly what I think. If Kirby were still around, he'd be like, thumbs up,
I agree.
then I will put that on as this is a good first step to the new, new arc of Avengers and the MCU movies. I mean, I felt like Cap Winter Soldier was kind of answering questions and kind of ending what was going on post Endgame. Thunderbolts was kind of in between of we're not really sure what's still going on. They're still dealing with the aftermath, but they don't know what the future's going on. Until you saw the end credits of Thunderbolts, which kind of gave you what's kind of with Fantastic Four. And they're starting to connect, which that's what we loved about Marvel movies is they started connecting, and this we're finally starting to get that. I mean, I know everybody kind of just wants, well, I just want a solo Marvel movie, not connected with the thing. I was like, good luck with that because everything has to intersect. It may not have to be direct correlation, but there's got to be something. There even in the after credits, something. Which we got that in the after credits for Avengers Doomsday. And we got kind of the funny little
Cartoon.
cartoon. That was great. That was cheesy as all hell, but that was the whole point. You felt the 60s cheesiness, but not so over the top that you're like, well, they stopped this. Oh, this is stupid. I didn't feel like that when I watched this movie. I got into it. You knew it was a different Earth. This is not 616. This isn't here. This was another Earth, and this is what happened to them. And I can get behind that. I think if Marvel would have did this with some of the other multiverses, like they don't have to do all of them, but you do a couple here and there. Like make that like an in-between movie of, hey, this is 616, but here's this like from another multiverse, from another universe, and this is what happened here. And kind of show you, it doesn't have to connect, but it gives you another perspective, and it kind of gives you something fresh, something different.
Right.
And I think this movie did exactly that. That's why I probably gave it a little bit higher grade than you did. Like, I gave it probably a B, B plus. So,
I gave it a B plus.
you said you gave it a B minus.
Oh, I thought, I'm sorry. I gave it a B plus. Sorry, my bad.
Okay. And we got about the same then. I definitely.
I thought you said A minus. I was like, I originally, and that's why I think I said minus in my head. Maybe that's
Oh,
why I was thinking minus.
okay.
But I meant a B
I wasn't going
plus.
to give it an A. It's
Yeah.
not. It's not still not kind of end game. It's not still at that echelon there or Iron Man or anything.
Yeah.
But it's still. I think it's better than Thor Dark World. I think
Yeah,
it's better than some
yeah.
of the other
It's definitely
sequels
like
that they've put out that.
I think it's like near the bottom of the top third for me,
Yes. Yeah.
right? Like the another thing I really liked, and I was very skeptical about Pedro Pascal coming into this role because I didn't know how they were going to play Reed, but what I actually really ended up liking was that I really liked that they played him a little more like the autistic scientist guy, because he was a little more reserved and awkward and more like just not as like suave and how it's the I didn't even know how to like dashing as they played him in the 2000 ones, because the other ones he was a little more dashing and a little more suave about it, you know.
Yeah, I
I mean,
don't
he was
think I
still
ever got
nerdy.
that. Yeah,
He
he
was
was
still
still a giant
nerdy,
nerd.
but he
Yeah.
was but he but he was a little more like a little more da a little more like ladies' manny than this Reed is. This Reed totally doesn't pick up on any social cues at all. Like
No.
this Reed doesn't do that, and that's what I like about this Reed. And that's what I think I thought was cool about it. Like, I think this Reed is going to give people with like autism, or anyone who's on the spectrum, like a hero to look up to. And I think that's why I like that a lot. Like a high functioning autistic, superhero. And that's really
Yeah.
what Reed has always been, when you think about it, because he's never been like some crazy, like super awesomely, like romantic dude. He's never been like, whatever. He's been a good looking guy, but he's never been like extra super romantic. He does a romantic gesture every once in a while, but he doesn't do them all the time, and he misses on a lot of signals. And Sue usually just kind of laughs it off. So,
Yeah.
but that's why Johnny's there, and Johnny's usually the one that's like overly romantic and shit like that. So, and that's why he always gives him shit for it. So, but I thought the way they played the dynamic between the four of them as a family very well. And I loved Kirby. I think they made him, or Herbie. I think they made Herbie really, really, really well done. I love that Johnny kept calling him Herbert the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, he would always call him by his full name. I thought that was cute. So, but yeah, overall, I thought it was a very good movie. I thought it was fun. I would see it again.
Yeah.
I
So.
would. I kind of want to see it in Dolby, even though I know IMAX is what it was shot for, because there's just more screen to it.
Yes.
but I'd like to see it in Dolby just to see what the vibrant color of Dolby looks like. But it was just really good in
Yeah.
general. So, but yeah, definitely go see it. Go see it, guys. Support that shit.
Yeah. It's true.
So, lots of blue in the movies. Go see it. So, because we got nothing else till what? Jesus, I don't even know. Something in the fall, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Let me see what Google says. Let's see here. Fantastic Four. Shit. That's 27. I think Doomsday might be the next one.
Really?
Doomsday. Nope, sorry. Spider-Man Brand New Day is July 31st. Supergirl's June 26th. So Supergirl is next June. We get nothing, it's movie-wise, till next June. So enjoy them now, people. Enjoy them now. Just gonna have to deal with more TV. So,
Sure.
but
Well,
all right,
what we
guys.
get all the fun stuff. What we got? Marvel Zombies. We got X-Men 97 season 2. Like, we got stuff to tide us over, but just not big screen, unfortunately.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for watching. We will see you next week. Yeah, that's about it. Enjoy the week. Read some books, support your local shop, and we will catch you next week.